six families this morning that are going to be sharing, reflecting what has happened in their lives in the recent past with Thanksgiving.
Morning. John texted me, and he's like, can you contribute 5 minutes to the service on the 20th? And I was like, well, what am I contributing? And he said, it has to be Thanksgiving related. So I'm very curious to see what everyone else contributes, because the context is quite broad. So I said, well, I'll talk a little bit about what we did last year for Thanksgiving, and then talk about a few things that we were just very thankful for the last year or two. So last year, we celebrated Thanksgiving early because Janessa's parents were back from Spain. And so actually on Thanksgiving Day, we were in a national forest in North Carolina, way down in the backwoods. And so we said, we're going to try to figure out if we can make a full Thanksgiving meal in the camper. So I did a chicken because we're just two of us. That's where we were parked over that time. And so we did sweet potatoes. Janessa did that on the side. And so she, like, mashed them up and then put, like, marshmallows in them and tried to, like, make that kind of that dish. And it turned out. So we made that. We made beans. Kind of your traditional – we try to get every, like, traditional dish, like dressing, cranberry. And it was all – it all turned out, but it was all had, like, that campfire kind of bent. So the year before, we tried to grill, like, drumsticks right over a fire. That wasn't quite as successful because it just sort of got tough. But so anyways, I just thought I'd show a few things of what last Thanksgiving was for us. It's been almost 2 years now that we've been on the road. It'll be 2 years in December. And I know one thing we were talking about that we're very thankful for is that we kind of expected as we were on the road and gone a lot that when we'd come back, of course, we'd have, you know, maintain relationships. But as a body, we weren't sure how much of a connection we'd feel. And we've just been blown away with how much, when we're back on a Sunday morning, I mean, it just feels like we never left. So that's a big thank you to the congregation, something that we feel very thankful for, because it's just, it feels like we've been gone for 3 months, we come back, and it feels like we were there the Sunday before. So that's kind of a big thank you to us, or from us to you guys, and also just that we feel, you know, to the Lord that we've been blessed with a body like you guys. So we're not sure what next year looks like. It'll be some more traveling, but probably not quite as much in the trailer. Probably be in the area a bit more next year. So you'll see us around. Thanks.
So it's story time with Maria now.
Ravensbrook wasn't a place where anyone wanted to put on. Each day was a scene of cruel suffering, sickness, and death. Located 15 miles north of Berlin, Germany, it had been established as a prison camp for women in 1938 by members of Adolf Hitler's army. Corey and Betsy Ten Boom, along with their 80-year-old father and two other family members, had been arrested for the crime of hiding Jews from the Nazi soldiers in 1944. Corey and Betsy were unloaded at Ravensbrück with thousands of other women. Not even the horrific conditions of the camp or the threats of punishment could stop these two godly women from loving their persecuted Jewish people. At the risk of death, they tended to the sick and injured, careful to avoid being seen by the prison guards, and secretly led times of scripture, reading, and prayer. The two sisters were moved to Barracks 28, where the living conditions were as bad as any in the camp. The backed-up plumbing filled the air with a sickening stench. The beds were actually long rows of crude wooden platforms stacked three high. What little straw covered the beds was dirty and scratchy, and of course there were no sheets, blankets, or pillows. After being directed to their beds, Corey and Betsy crawled over the smelly straw and lay down to rest. Then, fleas, Corey cried. Betsy, the place is swarming with them. How can we live in such a place? Show us how, Lord, Betsy prayed. Suddenly she exclaimed, Corey, he's given me the answer in the Bible this morning. Read that part again. Corey made sure no guard was in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians, she said. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, and Jesus Christ. That's his answer, said Betsy. Give thanks in all circumstances. We can thank God for every single thing about the barracks, such as, Corey said, such as being assigned here together and for what you're holding in your hands. Corey looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, said Betsy, and thank you that we're packed so close that many more will hear about you, and thank you for the fleas. This was too much. Betsy, there's no way God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, Betsy quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place where God has put us. So we stood between Pierre's bunks and gave thanks for the fleas. But I was sure Betsy was wrong. Weeks later, God gave Corey the answer to her question about fleas when Betsy told her, We never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room. Well, I found out. This afternoon, some women asked for a supervisor to come and settle a dispute. But when she refused, even the guardsmen come. And you know why? Because of the fleas. The supervisor said this place is crawling with fleas. In any other barracks, it would have been very difficult to read the forbidden Bible without being discovered by the guards. But God provided protection by way of the fleas. Are we grateful for the daily comforts we enjoy that these women prisoners didn't have? Do we give thanks even for the nuisances God allows in our lives? We may never learn the reason for our suffering, as Betsy and Corey did, but we know that God is always caring for us no matter how difficult our circumstances might be.
So yesterday, we took a little time with the children, and we just sat around, and we were just asked them areas. We got to all of us as a family, we were thinking about areas of struggle that we had in the past year and how God met us in those times of struggle. And so this morning, we just wanted to share just a piece of that with you. Do you want to go ahead and roll that song? And it's for these things and more that we give thanks. You guys can come up. If I can just say this, if it were not for the struggles that we go through, we would not understand the grace that God gives us.
All right, well, we got a verse for you guys. How many of you would like to know God's will for your life? We got a verse here that's going to tell you what God's will is.
Rejoice always.
Pray without ceasing. Never again give thanks.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
And we were going to sing that same song if you're happy or if you're thankful and you know it. So, now that you all know how to sing it, we're all going to stand up and sing it together. So, all you kids that wanted to help last time, you can all help now. If you're thankful and you know it, clap your hands.
If you're thankful and you know it, clap your hands. If you're thankful and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're thankful and you know it, clap your hands. If you're thankful and you know it, stomp your feet.
Thank you so much. You all can be seated. This is kind of the spur of the moment, but do you have anything you want to thank God for publicly?
Well, I must say that was a treat for us to see all you do that together. I want to thank God for not only my family, but my church family. You guys have all been such a great blessing to us, and it's just been a blessing to be in this church family.
You guys want to say anything?
You thankful for? I'm thankful for toys.
You want to say anything? No. Yeah, I'm thankful as well for the church family. We've been here 2 years, 2.5 years, and both Rosemary and I coming from very different backgrounds. Finding a church where we both felt comfortable in was definitely going to be a challenge, and we both very much enjoy it here, very much feel part of it. And our children also, I want to thank you Sunday school teachers. Sunday school is a big highlight, so you teachers that teach those small classes, you're a great blessing. So thank you.
Good morning to each of you. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? Psalms 105, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Our small group is giving thanks this year to the Lord for his faithfulness in helping us help others. There's many ways that we can help others, and one of those is to reach out an empty hand. And this time I'm going to read a short story titled The Empty Hand, and the author is unknown. Thanksgiving Day was near. The first grade teacher gave her class a fun assignment to draw a picture of something for which they were thankful. Most of the class might be considered economically disadvantaged, but still many would celebrate the holiday with turkey and other traditional goodies of the season. The teacher thought would be the subject of most of her students' art, and they were. But Douglas made a different kind of picture. Douglas was a different kind of boy. He was the teacher's true child of misery, frail and unhappy. As other children played at recess, Douglas was likely to stand close by her side. One could only guess at the pain Douglas felt behind those sad eyes. Yes, his picture was different. When asked to draw a picture of something for which he was thankful, he drew a hand. Nothing else, just an empty hand. His abstract image captured the imagination of his peers. Whose hand could it be? One child guessed it was the hand of a farmer, because farmers raise turkeys. Another suggested a police officer, because the police protected and cared for people. Still others guessed it was the hand of God, for God feeds us. And so the discussion went, until the teacher almost forgot the young artist himself. When the children had gone on to other assignments, she paused at Douglas's desk, bent down, and asked him whose hand it was. The little boy looked away and murmured, "It's yours, teacher." She recalled the times she had taken his hand and walked with him here or there, as she had the other students. How often had she said, "Take my hand, Douglas, we'll go outside," or "Let me show you how to hold your pencil," or "Let's do this together." Douglas was most thankful for his teacher's hand. Brushing aside a tear, she went on with her work. The story speaks more than thankfulness. It says something about teachers teaching and parents parenting and friends showing friendship and how much it means to the Douglases of the world. They might not always say thanks, but they'll remember the hand that reaches out. Are we remembering the hand that reached out to us? Are we remembering to reach out a hand to others this year? Our faithful God reached out an empty hand and pulled us out of the dark life of sin. Are we thankful? Are we truly thankful for that? If so, reach out an empty hand to someone close to you. And at this time, we're going to show you a couple pictures, and they give you a glimpse of us, different ones of our small group, reaching out an empty hand to others.
I'm thankful for shoelaces. Have you ever tried to walk without shoelaces? You will become thankful. I was thinking, God, open up my eyes to so many things that I take for granted. And one of my friends used to always say, thank God for shoelaces. And I was thinking about something to prepare this morning. That's what came to my mind. Thank God for shoelaces. If we can be thankful in small things, we can also be thankful in big things. If I would have a microphone and go around to each one of you guys and ask you, what is the hardest? Give me the two of the three hardest things that is in your life right now. The thorns, the struggles. You'd have three things. In this time of Thanksgiving, to have right thinking about our hard things, we say, okay, what is the truth about what is so hard in my life? For example, last night, one of the girls was sick most of the night. I had half a night of sleep. But you know what? In Iraq or in refugee camps, children are sick too. And they might be sick just as often. And those parents are trying to take care for them in a tent in mud. I'm like, so what if my child is sick? I have all the comforts of home here in America to take care of my child, even if it is, you know, a lot of sleeplessness. Like, our perspective gets so out of focus. My perspective gets so out of focus so quick. And I don't want that. I want to continue to grow in thankfulness. This past year, I've been very thankful for God's word. I don't mean that as a cliche. I mean that, like, for real. Where I have verses on my phone every morning as my first couple oil tanks are filling up, I deliver heating oil. I often get my phone out and go over verses. I often thank God for these verses because it indicates God's heart. The whole Bible is full of God's heart, but one thing about God is he has a heart for the orphans and the widows. And the definition of a orphan is one without a father to take care of an orphan does not have a father to take care of them. They might have a mother, but not necessarily a father. And so often I go over these verses that Psalms 82, vindicate the weak and the fatherless. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress. The unfortunate commits himself to God. Now, I'm just thankful for these verses. God, Psalm 68:5 says, God is a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? The character of God in his holy habitation where everything is perfect. One of the attributes that comes out is his heart for the fatherless. He confuses the way of the wicked, but he supports the fatherless and the widows. Exodus in the Old Testament talks about never taking advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to me, you can be sure that I, God, will hear their cries. And so these are verses that some of the verses I hope helps me think right in the morning, gets my mind thinking right. Like, I'm so thankful for God's heart. Okay, now Summer has something she wants to say that she's thankful for. What are you thankful for? She told me earlier that she was going to say, I'm thankful for serenity.
Are we on there? I just want to say I'm really thankful for my family this morning and my children, my wife. There's no one I'd rather be with. I love you guys.
Like to share something that God's been has showed me recently, and I just want to thank Him for what He's done, what He's actually done to for me by dying on the cross and saving me from my sins. That now I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to try and forgive people or try and be thankful, because it's impossible for me to be thankful in everything or not be afraid of things. But through God dying on the cross, He made it possible that through Him, I can be thankful for everything. And He just recently been showing me what that really means. And I just want to thank Him for that, wonderful privilege.
I'm thankful for my animals and my family.
I'm thankful for the verses that Jeff read about the fatherless and the widows, and that they're mine to claim and happen. And I'm thankful for the people who helped me and encouraged me and prayed for me this past month while I was sick with bronchitis.
I'm thankful for Coleman. He turned one on Thursday, and the first birthday is always so special. Parents survived the first year, and your baby grew a lot, and he's added so much to our lives, and we love him very much.
I'm thankful for a job. When you don't have one, only then do you realize how important it is. And this last year has been a real struggle for our family because we didn't always have work when we needed it. And but God has provided for us in many different ways. And I also want to thank our small group for their support and their prayers and their help in our lives. We love you guys a lot. Thank you.
I'm thankful for sisters and my family.
Standing, reflecting on the morning and reflecting a heart of thanks to God in the midst of fleas, in the midst of hard times. God wants to make Himself known in every circumstance, and He uses your hands, He uses your feet, He uses your voice to do that for Jesus. Before we close, Vernon brought to my attention that Fair Play Boys Camp, where Kent and Eunice are serving, their license runs out this week. Is that correct, Vernon? Somehow it got overlooked, the renewing of that license. And so he's asking for prayer that that license could be renewed quickly. And so we're going to lift them up this morning in prayer as we close. Also, there'll be lunch here for everyone, so you're all invited to stay. Heavenly Father, thank you for a grateful heart. Most of all, thank you for what you've given us. And Lord, may we never forget or take it for granted that everything comes from you. All knowledge, all material blessings, everything we have comes from you. Lord, help us to understand that and comprehend that and put it to practice in our everyday life. Lord, this morning we think of Fair Play and their dilemma they're in with their license. And Lord, you know all about it. You know what's going on. You know why. Lord, we just lift them up to you and ask that you would intervene in your will and provide for them this week. Be with the staff and all those in the lead there to help work through this problem. Lord, give them wisdom and understanding and patience as they work through this problem. Think, too, of Lois and Jim and Ruth and Suzanne, Lord. I bring them before you and ask you to minister through them again today. Minister to those spirits and where there's, yeah, whatever's going on, meet their need, Lord. We commit them to you. Thank you for our noon meal and for those who provided. Blessed Lord, thank you for our fellowship we can enjoy. And Lord, that is a huge blessing as we were reminded again of today. And Lord, help us to be grateful for one another and what we can bring to each other in encouragement as we walk this journey of life. Thank you for being our God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.